It's time for Sunday school. It's time for Sunday school. So we are talking about a school. So it's a learning place. You want to learn more about God. And I believe that God will reveal himself to us this morning in Jesus' name. So let's get ready. Let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, into your presence we have come this morning to meet with you, because we know whenever we are able to meet with you, something different happens in our lives. There is a change that comes to our life. You rebuild, you lift up, you relocate, you comfort, you soothe, you correct, you teach, you even direct. Lord, you even reveal yourself. This morning, you will do all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Let our hearts be enlightened this morning. Because the coming of your word, it brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. Give us understanding this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. We are looking at the burnt offering. The what? The burnt offering. Praise the Lord. The topic itself is quite... He has already preached. The topic itself has instructed the burnt offering. So which means the offering, for the offering to be burnt, it means it must be dead. And then, so if it's dead, it gets burnt. So it means it is totally consumed of the Lord, for the Lord, and by the Lord. So there's nothing of it left. So, it's the burnt offering. And God wants us to be living sacrifices so that he wants the totality of us, you know, like the burnt offering. My prayer this morning is that God will take possession of us in Jesus' name. Every area of our lives will come under the power of the Holy Spirit, and he will be in control in Jesus' name. Let's quickly look at our memory verse, which is taken from Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. That's where our memory verse is coming from. And can we read together from our bulletin? Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Can we go? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Again, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Again, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I believe we can spend the whole of today on this verse. It's so loaded, and I'm sure it's been preached and preached and preached and preached. But God is saying that there's something, you know, when we use the word reasonable, when we say, I think it's a reasonable thing to do. I think it's been reasonable. I think sometimes when we use the word reasonable, it is synonymous with the minimum. It is synonymous with what is expected. It's normal. It's synonymous with normal. It's synonymous with minimum requirement. It's synonymous with, you know, the least you can do in this case. It's the least you can do, the minimum you can do, the normal thing you should do. What is expected of you? The least is that you present your body as what? A living sacrifice. That is holy and acceptable unto the Lord. See, that is the minimum we can do. Minimum. And of course, we can go on and do many, many other things. If we have not done the minimum, and we try to convert other people, it becomes difficult. If we have not done the minimum and we preach to other people, it can't work. So, and the Bible is saying, the minimum we can do, first of all, is to commit ourselves to Him, to give ourselves to Him, to surrender ourselves to Him, to see Him taking possession of our lives. That is the minimum. It's a reasonable service to Him. And thereafter, we can begin to launch out to do the other things He is asking of us. Remember, we're talking about the burnt offering. Let's quickly read from Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1 to 17. Leviticus 1, 1 to 17. Please, I want two people to read. Somebody to read 1 to 8, then somebody 9 to 17. So if you get there before me.
Without tearing it apart. Then he will burn it as a burnt offering on the wood, burning on the altar. It is a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Again, like I've said here before, we go through these things to help us understand the dispensation we live in. And some words have been repeated over and over again. And in particular, I want to talk about without blemish. God was asking and wants and is still asking that the offering to be presented to Him has to be without blemish. The sacrifice that will come before Him will be without blemish. thank God for the blood of Jesus. If not for the blood of Jesus, how can we stand? If not for him that washes us and makes us presentable before him. So that when God looks at us, he sees Jesus. And that is why we cannot afford to be re-traumatizing him or re-crucifying him again. If I'm going to spend time to look at these verses that we have read, we'll not be able to consider some of the things here. So I'll just take it along as we go. So our study introduces us to the third book of the Bible called Leviticus, written by Moses as an integral part of the Pentateuch. And being part of the canon of Scripture, we ought to have a positive attitude towards this extremely important and instructive book. Unfortunately, many people, probably out of ignorance or lack of understanding, simply dismiss the book as a record of antiquated and obsolete religious system. But the book, when perused with understanding, furnishes us with deep revelation of the personality, office, and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, like we said before, it's basically giving us an insight into the dispensation we are in. So it has a close relationship with the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, and it naturally divides into two sections, each dealing with a major theme. While the first section deals with the sacrificial system as a way of approaching God, the second set forth the necessity of sanctification and separation from sin before a person can have a close walk with God. In summary, the purpose of the book of Leviticus was to show that sinful men needed sacrifice to atone for their sins before they could have access to God, and that they required holiness before they could maintain fellowship with him. You know some teachings that go around these days that tells you that the love of God covers everything, that nothing needs to change, that once you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, that nothing needs to change in your life. They teach you that you don't need to do anything differently. There was a day I had a preacher say something like this. He said, and I don't want to quote this person wrongly, he said, the Bible says you should love the Lord with all your heart, with all your strength, and with all your might. He said, as a human being, I cannot do that. He said, therefore, how can you love the Lord? He said, you don't have to. Something like that, along that line. That he's the only, he loves you, and that covers everything. And you probably know this person I'm talking about, who you preach love, 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 and say, look, you don't have to do anything, you know. And some people will applaud it, and some people will go, you know, and it just bothers on the fringe. It just bothers on the fringe. I've once preached a sermon before. It is titled Grace Without Responsibility. If God has not given us any responsibility at all in terms of what he expects of us, then how can he turn around to tell us that we haven't done some things properly? How can he turn around to condemn some people? How can he turn around to say, like Jesus said, that on that day he will say, I know you not, you workers of iniquities. If he does not expect us to take responsibility, then he will not impute guilt on the one that is guilty. So, like in the old, God still expects that we approach him in what? In righteousness. He expects that we approach him in truth. So, the sacrificial system which the book deals with served as a pointer to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the true Lamb of God, who should die to take away the sins of the world. However, the sacrifices which are described in the book are no longer necessary since Jesus, through his death on the cross, has fulfilled the purpose which they served. I'm sure we all know that. I mean, the kids know that. The children of Israel made different kinds of offerings. Let's not go through that. We're not going to go through that. But let me just quickly, let's quickly look at the burnt offering. Let's look, read some passages, you know, about the burnt offering. I want us to read from Leviticus 6, verse 8 to 12. Leviticus 6, 8 to 12. The Lord. I think there are two main things we can learn from here. First of all, God instructed the priest that each time they were coming to sacrifice, they're coming before where the offerings or the sacrifice was being made, they were to come in their linen clothing. And that linen clothing was not meant to leave the Holy of Holies. As soon as you finish, you put it there. They have to wear another one to go out. Now, it is a physical demonstration of what God expects of us in approaching him. That's because the Bible says, for God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So, anything that is impure. Because that was the way they could understand it then. That was the only way the people could understand it. And it also helps the people to have the fear of God. To know that you don't just approach God anyhow. You don't just approach God as you like. But these days, we can be lying. We can be saying something that we know is not correct or true. And we'll be in his presence. And with boldness, we keep saying it. Thank God for his grace. But I want us to know that where the power of God manifests is the place where the fear of God is. Look at Acts of Apostles. The move of God, the Bible will tell you that fear came upon the people. And then what happened? It said many and disciples were added. Not only were they added, many miracles happened in the midst of them. So wherever the fear of God is, the power of God is made manifest. Go and look at Acts chapter 10, verse 35. Every life where the fear of God is, the glory of God will be made manifest. Acts 10:35. Can somebody read for me? Yep. Praise the Lord. He says, in every nation, he does what? He accepts those who do what? Those who fear him. So, in every life where the fear of God is, then the glory of God will be there. Because you become acceptable unto him. He will manifest himself in that life and he will show his power in that place. Look, where God, whenever God accepts somebody, and that's why people were going all out to give offerings or to make sacrifices, because they knew that God, you know, accepting them meant a lot in terms of what God would do in their lives. And my prayer this morning is this. And if you remember where we read in Romans chapter 12 verse 1, he said, holy and what? And acceptable. I want to believe that by the time we leave here this morning, God will do something new in our lives. And we will draw closer to him in the mighty name of Jesus. So, approaching God, God expected that they approach him in holiness. The other thing that we can draw out from there is that the fire on the altar of the burnt offering has to be what? It has to be kept burning. It has to be what? Kept burning. And I always pray one prayer here. And I say, Father, I just pray that our candle will never go out before you. So, in other words, our sacrifice to God in thanksgiving, in praising him, in approaching him, in presenting ourselves, because we are that living sacrifice, it has to be a continuous sacrifice. It's not a Sunday sacrifice. That, okay, when I come to church on Sunday, I have to present myself holy and acceptable unto him, and then in between from one Sunday to the other, I'm a different person entirely. The fire has to be what? Has to keep burning. It has to be perpetually burning. It has to be sending an aroma, a sweet-smelling savor unto him all the time. That is what God... Thank God that we are living sacrifices. And that is why it can be continuous, because we are alive. It just... Something has to... That when God looks at us, he's delighted. When he looks at the way we do things, he's delighted. It has to keep burning. Let's quickly look at Exodus chapter 29, 15 to 18. Exodus 29, 15 to 18. I think we'll leave it there. One thing there that is important is that he said the entire animal has to be burned. In other words, like I said at the beginning, God expects our entirety, everything about us, to be a sacrifice unto him. Everything about us, not part of us. No area should be sacrosanct. That we say God cannot touch. No area should be an area where we say, look, Lord, you allow this far. But this part, I'm still contending with you. That part, you are yet to convince me why I should, let you be the Lord and the Savior in that area. That's what he's saying to us. He said, everything has to be burned. And that is why the Bible says we have to be dead to sin, dead to the world. In other words, we are sold out to him. We are sold out to him. Numbers 28, 3 and 4. Numbers 28, 3 and 4. There was an offering going on. continuously. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God that we have an advocate who is daily interceding for us. Friends, where will we be without Jesus? Can you imagine that the people had to be continuously sacrificing something? Continuously. That fire has to keep burning. You know what? God expects, like I said, that the fire keeps burning in you, in me. That, you know, we are exuding an aroma that is pleasant to him. That is our sacrifice. Remember, we talked about a reasonable sacrifice, the minimum sacrifice. The least we can do is to present ourselves. That is the least. If you cannot go out and before you can go out and disciple people, first of all, present yourself. Before you can pray for, you know, the blind to be healed, present yourself as a sacrifice. Before you can pray that, you know, the barren will bear, present yourself as a sacrifice. Before you can do anything, say that is the minimum requirement. That is the minimum requirement. I'll just quickly read from here. I'll read paragraph 2 on the other side. In the description of the burnt offering, we can distinguish two major types. One, the mandatory daily burnt offering for the whole congregation. It consisted of, as we have read, and in prescribing the personal burnt offering, God made provision for the different categories of people in the congregation to be able to offer. That was where we read at the beginning. There were people who were allowed to offer turtle doves, all those things. So in other words, there is no excuse. We don't have any excuse at all to say, because I'm not like brother so-and-so who has very good command of English, I therefore will not do something. I therefore will not preach. I therefore will not do this. Oh, yes. You see, when I have money like brother so-and-so, then I can give. Oh, when I am blessed like so-and-so, then I start to... There is no excuse. God wants to reach down and lift you up from wherever you are. But he wants you to be willing to be lifted up so that there is no excuse. God wants us to do what he has asked us to do. And he's placed at individual level the things that you can do, that which you can utilize. Every gift that God has given us, he wants us to utilize it. It doesn't have to be someone else's gift. I'm telling you, there will be less discontentment if we learn to appreciate the gifts that God has given us. Some of the things we do that we just take for granted, I'm telling you, if we harness those gifts that God has given us, it becomes a blessing to people. It becomes a blessing to the body of Christ if we will use them to the glory of God. So God, who has given you that gift, if he knows it's not going to be acceptable to him, he wouldn't have given it to you, because he knows out of that gift that he's giving you, there is a seed there for you to sow. There is a seed, like somebody said, everything that God's given you, there are two components to it. There's that is meant to benefit you, and there's that is meant to be a seed to be sown. Sown into the kingdom, sown into somebody's life, so that it can go on and on. I was telling somebody this morning, I said, look, if God uses me to do something for somebody and they come to thank me, I said, I often say to them, don't thank me. Please just go on and do a similar thing to someone else. Because whatever God is using me to do is a seed that I'm sowing. Out of it, you are going to eat. Out of it, you are supposed to sow also. And everybody keeps sowing and keeps sowing and keeps sowing. So there is no excuse. He said, however, any animal to be used as an offering to God must have certain features. One, it must be a clean animal. It must be perfect, not sickly or deformed. It must be a male. This feature pointed to the attributes of Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God. They also made the offerer give his best and a costly offering to the Lord. You will know what a costly offering is. Some people measure cost just by money. Cost is not necessarily in money. Cost in terms of offering to the Lord, maybe this will change your perspective in terms of offering to the Lord. In terms of offering to the Lord, cost sometimes could mean that this is something ordinarily you will not do. This is something that ordinarily will have hurt your pride. You will not do it. But you just do it. Because that's what God says you should do. That is a cost to you. Remember Psalm 126. He said, he who goes bearing seed, weeping, that is at a cost. It is expensive, not in money terms. But look, this is the last thing. Remember, the one that comes to my mind is the widow of Zarephath. That was the last thing she was meant to eat. That was what was left to eat. How will you feel if the prophet of God now comes to you, what you are meant to eat with your child, and then you'll be awaiting death? And he said, first of all, he said to her, first of all, go and make a cup for me. Can you imagine that? He said, first of all, go and make a cup for me. Then you and the child will eat. What an audacity. That is what is called sacrificial giving. I'm sure when that lady was going, she probably was weeping. And then, if this, what is meant for two? If this man now comes in as the third person and wants to eat a portion of it, can you imagine what it means for them? In fact, it means death will come quicker. Because if the two of them had shared it, they would have had a full belly at least and stay longer before they die. But now somebody is coming, taking a portion, and then expecting them to share what is left. So they have half stomach full, and so they will be ready to die. That is sacrificial giving. I'm sure she will be walking to the kitchen and say, oh God, oh, oh. Somebody's come to, oh my. You see, we expect the moves of God in this dispensation. And we don't want to do the things that the people of old did. Sacrifice. We don't want to sacrifice anymore. We don't want to sacrifice. We want the best children. Do we want to make the necessary sacrifice in raising them up? We want the best homes. Will you make the sacrifice that is necessary? You want to be called a child of God? Will you make the sacrifice that is necessary? To be called a child of God sometimes means depriving yourself. There are some places you get invited to, you don't go there because of who you are. There are some things that are offered to you that you don't take because of who you are. But we want to rationalize it by simply saying, you see, it's not what, you know, it's not, God just sees the heart. He sees the heart. But this morning he's saying, present yourself, your body. He said, present your body as a living sacrifice, your body. He's not even saying your heart this morning. He said your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. Weeping. You know, there are some places you really want to go. You know you love to be there. You enjoy the presence of the people there. You'll be able to laugh and do some of the things that are going to be done there. But you just choose not to go simply because of who you are in him. That is sacrifice. That is sacrifice. We once have been invited to a place before. And it was a place we were meant to go. Really, really supposed to go. But we were not meant to be there because of the word of God. And I remember in the night, my wife woke up and she started crying and said, "Are we not going to go?" And I said, "Read your Bible." He said, "Are we not going to go?" I said, "Read your Bible. What does the Bible say?" He said, "We have to be go. We have to go there." My kids too are crying. My children, they cried. He said, "I will not." I said, "But that's what the Bible says. We can't be there. We cannot be there. We will not go." I had to take responsibility for it. It was very painful. But it's a sacrifice. Are we still making sacrifices? I'm not saying that is what is going to take you to heaven. You must have accepted Jesus first and every other thing then become a work of faith for you. So once you do it, and the only reason you're doing it is because you want to please God. That was what we read in Acts chapter 10, verse 35. He said, "Everyone in every nation that fear him is acceptable to him." Any questions? Questions? Comments? So you can see how some of the things in the Old Testament actually is a lesson for us for this dispensation. Questions? Comments? These are the things we need to be talking about here. It's not just enough to talk about the blessings of God. Please, this is where the blessings of God will come from. So it's important. We need to encourage each other so that when we go out, we have the boldness to do what God has called us to do. So when we go out, we have the confidence. Otherwise, look, the way people are going to present you to yourself when you take a stand like that is that you are weird, is that you are not, there's something wrong with you. But you need to hear it from other people too, so that you can be encouraged, emboldened, and know that you are not alone. So, do we have any comments, questions? Okay, if there is none, let us pray. So we are going to pray from Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." You are going to present yourself before God this morning. You are the sacrifice. You are going to present yourself before the Lord this morning, holy and acceptable. Just ask God, ask for a touch. Ask for a touch from the Lord. Ask for a touch from the Lord. Can we just rise on our feet, please? Let's rise up. Ask for a touch from the Lord. If you know that there is any area of your life that will stop you from presenting yourself holy and acceptable unto the Lord this morning, I want you to speak to the Lord and repent of it and just ask God, ask him to cleanse you once again. Ask him to cleanse you once again. Ask him to cleanse you once again so that as you stand in his presence this morning, the glory of the Lord will come upon your life. As you stand in his presence this morning, the fire of the Holy Spirit will come upon your life. As you stand in his presence this morning, his glory will just come down upon you. A sweet aroma will emanate from you. We emanate from your being. We emanate from your person. We emanate from your praise. We emanate from your worship this morning. Just present yourself before the Lord. Say, "Father, oh yes, that cleansing blood. Oh yes. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow." Yes, Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning. Lord, we cannot of our own save ourselves. We cannot of our own purify ourselves. You are the purifier. You are the purifier. Purify us this morning afresh before your throne, Lord. We want to offer a sacrifice that will reach unto heaven. a sacrifice of covenant, a sacrifice that will be a memorial before you. Accept our person this morning. Let your glory come upon our lives, O Lord. Let your presence come upon us this morning. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, our desire is that we'll make heaven. Let every obstacle in our lives that will stop us from making heaven be removed today. In the mighty name of Jesus. We want our fire to keep burning before you. May our fire not be put out before you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' wonderful mighty name we pray. Amen.